Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dealing with Life Stuff podcast. My name is Fernando Ceballos.
And I'm Randy Strug.
And welcome to the episode.
Mm-hmm. And that's important to, like, even with your views, back to like that critical thinking is really understand why you think the way you do and what is the other argument and then rationalizing both arguments and making sure you're using reason to determine which one is the one you should really stand behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, because emotions are very important.
Yeah.
However, you have to be able to, you know, back up those emotions, because just the reason something makes you feel a certain way doesn't mean that it's a reality.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, like, that's where we're at right now, and specifically in the political world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of things are being driven by the way emotions, and, you know, the people have every single right to feel the way they feel, and they should be. But again, I go back to, we have to be able to understand each other and find a common ground.
Yep.
And the only way we can find common ground is through facts and through, you know, the reality, because I'm never going to be able to feel exactly what Randy feels, right? That's just the reality of it. And you're never going to feel the way I feel, because we've had different lives.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if we can come to an agreement that at least we're talking about the same thing,
right,
then we can have a discussion. Because if we're just talking about how I feel or how you feel, we'll never be able to have the same conversation, because we're talking about two completely different things.
Right. Well, that's one of my favorite themes of Atlas Shrugged, which I just finished rereading. Is the main characters and the protagonists are very rational and use reason, and the antagonists are always like, it just doesn't feel right though, or like, but how do you, but we need to care about the feelings here, and it's like, but you watch them destroy the world because they're not like, they're not listening to empirical evidence.
You need
evidence.
Both, though. You definitely need both.
So, yes, but within reason, like...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well,
you have, like, so people need to understand that you have meta-emotions. So you have an immediate reaction to an emotion, or you have an immediate emotion as a reaction to, or a response to whatever stimuli you're going through, but then you have the meta-emotion where you can feel about the way how you feel. So it's like, hey, yeah, I'm pissed off, or hey, yeah, I'm upset. How am I going, like, am I going to let that impact how I, like, go forward? Like, I am a big proponent of being offended as a choice. Like, I know,
to a certain extent.
No, I think it's a choice.
I think it's a choice in how you react. But if another person's being a complete asshole, like...
Well, yeah, but, like, if someone's being an asshole to me, I'm not going to be offended by that. Like, it's just them being an asshole. Like, that doesn't bother
me. Okay, yeah.
But
I guess that statement makes sense. Like, being offended is a choice. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But that's not you saying that the other person has a
right to be a dick.
A right to be a dick.
No, like,
and that's,
well,
that's an impression.
Actually, they have a right to be a dick.
Well, yes, they have a right to be a dick.
They have a right.
They shouldn't.
There's a better way for them to go about their business than just being an asshole.
Right.
And like, but I agree, everyone should have the right to be an asshole. I would just prefer they not, but I don't ever, like,
if everybody acted that way, like, we wouldn't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would want to be going their own directions. And like, that doesn't bring anybody together.
Well, and like, I don't even necessarily have a problem with everyone going their own directions. Like, if that,
how do you lead a team if everyone wants to go a different way?
Well, I feel like a lot of, I guess, what we're witnessing is a communication breaking down and us not willing.
Let's try to do this, like, from a business perspective, not a political.
Okay. Well, I know where you're going with this, and you're saying, like, if everyone's going individually, how can you have cohesiveness? Well.
Right.
It can still be an individual's choice to go the same direction as someone else, but it needs to be their choice to do that. And, like, that's still individual choice, and that's what I'm the biggest advocate for.
Right.
It doesn't mean individual choice doesn't mean I'm going to go the entirely opposite direction because I'm an individual and I have to go my separate ways. It could mean I'm choosing to follow this person because I understand why they're doing this, and I can see the potential of this playing out, and I want to go this direction with them and support them.
Individual collective think rather than group think.
I don't like collective as a word. but no, it's
how do you group individuals? What's the synonym for collective?
Team.
Okay. So an individual or a team coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's different than group think.
Yeah, it is. Because if everyone...
Because group think is one leader has an ideology and everybody follows along.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, most just from an empirical standpoint, most people are very susceptible to following someone if they're the most confident person in the room. I forget what the experiment was called, but they had a bunch of actors in a room, and they had one person that they were kind of studying.
Was it the doctor one?
No. Okay. They have a math problem presented, and they ask people, like, okay, well, what are your answers to this? Well, all the actors intentionally choose the wrong answer, and then the participant in the study is asked to choose, and they'll choose the wrong answer even though it's clearly wrong because they're scared of sticking out. And I think it's important to understand that that's just psychologically built into us, and that's where Travis's point of having a strong code to live by and adhering to your own individual ethics and morals is the most important thing. Like, even if everyone else is wrong, you need to hold yourself to the higher standard.
Yeah, because like, I'll have my initial emotional reactions when I see something, and then a lot of times I have to check myself of like, okay, I'm reacting emotionally right now. Why am I reacting this way emotionally, and is this actually occurring, or is this really trying to manipulate me in a particular way to cause that reaction, and really question things down to that level to be able to decipher and have that discernment of what's actually occurring in my life.
Because a lot of it is like based on past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way Randy uses a certain word or you use a certain word is going to stimulate my brain and I guess heart to think a certain way. And so I'm going to base off of what you just said the same way the other person meant it when I had a negative reaction to it or positive reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like to your point, like you have to be able to take a step back and say, is Randy saying what this other guy said last time? Or is Randy saying something completely different, just using the same words?
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people aren't willing to take a step back on both sides to be able to say, like, that's not what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
All it is like, well, you're wrong. You don't understand what I'm saying, rather than saying, what am I saying wrong?
Yeah.
Or what words should I use to be able to get to a point where we can actually have a conversation?
Yeah.
The same way with the whole word collective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a prime example of just saying, like, well, when I use the word collective, these are the meanings that I put to that word.
Yeah.
However, there is a definition that we can agree to. However, the meaning is going to be different to all three of us.
Yeah. Right.
And I think like that's the reality of life. Like, meaning is different than definition.
But you were able to, we were able to, in our conversation, be able to, what is the trigger word here in this? And so I think a lot of people need to be able to, all right, what is the trigger words in the conversations that I'm having, and can I effectively communicate or find that so then we can reach a mutually agreed upon definition, and then we can proceed the conversation moving forward. But a lot of people are failing to do that, so it's just everyone's misunderstanding each other, really, ultimately.
Walk in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Rather than talking more to meet in the middle, it's talking more to walk away from each other.
Right. Yeah. Like, we all have more in common than we have indifferences, but because a lot of the arguments today are so emotionally charged, it's hard to even take the time to find that common ground, because if I disagree with someone, you know, they can immediately call you something, and it's like you're immediately dismissed as a human being. It's like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, we should be listening to each other. Like, let's have this open dialogue. Let's not censor people. Like, let's have the chats, but let's not call each other names. Let's figure out where we agree, and let's rationalize our arguments, and let's move forward off of that.
Yeah, I think like this, again, back to this year, like this past year, this is exhausting. I feel like so many people are just tired, like from COVID and like having to be on their own. Like, people's, what is it called? Their fuse is so small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just,
They
don't have a lot of like leeway to be able to have a conversation. It's like, you light them up, and by the time you know, like, they're on fire.
Yeah.
They don't give themselves enough time to, like, actually have a fuse.
Yeah, I used, like, in the beginning of 2020, I used social media quite a bit, but then, like, really, it's once COVID hit and went indoors, it was more me kind of unconsciously doing it, honestly, of just, I wasn't doing that much, so I don't really need to post anything to share anything with anyone. But I've noticed over 2020, I've hardly use social media at all as the environment became more toxic. And I initially, you know, was trying to reach out and have dialogue, but, and you were able to have some of those conversations, but it was just kind of overall more negative what's being spewed. So I was like, all right, then I'm just gonna get off of this for the most part and talk with people in person, because that's whenever you realize, hey, we have a lot more in common with each other.
That's what I was alluding to is like text communication and just like written communication is so hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because as you're reading through it, like unconsciously, you're going to put meaning to certain words.
Yep.
And you're going to start, reading it with your own filter. And by the time you're done reading a paragraph, like, oh, this guy's an asshole. Like, this is what he's trying to say. It's like, no, you never said that.
Yeah. I have a great example of that. And a team member had expressed this to me probably 6-7 years ago, was I had always texted with a lot of exclamation marks. And that's just, yeah, I'm excited. And one of the team members, like, she came up to me and was like, hey, this girl, how you're talking to her, she feels like you're just very, like, shouting at her. And I'm like, no, like, I'm trying to help her build her business in this aspect. Like, I'm not shouting at her, I'm just excited. And so it's like, whoa, okay, I had no clue about that. She had never communicated it to me. So then we met, and she was like, oh, that's what you're, like, meaning behind it? Yes, oh my goodness. We're totally on the same page. Yeah. You just had misperceived as something as small as an exclamation mark in a text.
Yeah, I generally go in. I generally go into any time I read a text or some kind of text communication, I just assume the best possible scenario is how they meant it. Like, they meant it in the most positive way. And if it's not, okay, we'll deal with it down the road. But I'm just going to take the general assumption that this was meant in a good way.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't ruin my, like, it doesn't hurt me any way not to do that. So,
I mean, unfortunately, I know some people who like to read emails or like text like in a negative note. I'm like, that's not what they mean, right?
Yeah.
But like, I had a particular coworker who like read an email from a city, and it's like all this stuff that's negative. I'm like, bro, like it's not that bad. Like they're just trying to say facts, and they don't have enough time to say how are you, hope you're doing well. Like those things are important, you know, from courtesy standpoint, but they're trying to build a relationship with you. They're just telling you the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, like, our plans are wrong. We got to fix them.
Yeah.
It's something as simple as that. But I don't know. Again, we go back to one of the skill sets, right? Communication has to be in the forefront.
Yep.
Because if we don't focus on that, we're always going to be misunderstood.
Yep.
Yep. And always tell the truth, or at least don't lie.
Yeah.
Be true to yourself.
Yep.
So the things that I'm working on this year.
Let's hear it.
Is... just cooking at home. I think if I could just cook more at home, everything else will fall in place. I'll be able to go work out more. I'll be able to lose some weight. I'll be able to save money. Like that one fundamental thing is, should be able to have a lasting impact on other areas of my life. So that'll be the thing I'm working on.
So is that a function of you just taking away the ease of ordering food or going out to eat because like, oh, I already have the food prepped or something?
I mean, I enjoy cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know when I cook healthy things. And so that's going to help me build the blocks of being able to cook the right way or eat the right way.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, that's going to help me feel better. That's going to make me go to the gym or work out at home, whatever the case is. It's also going to help me save money, right? So not that I have certain financial goals to hit, and I do, but say, eating at home is not going to make it that exponential difference, but I think cooking at home from a health perspective is going to make an impact. So it's kind of removing the whole goal idea and just developing the right routines.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I can develop the right routines, everything else will fall in place.
Yeah, routines and habits are super important.
Yeah.
Like,
crucial.
Absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what your routines and habits are, let's start there and figure out what the hell your routines and habits are.
Yeah. You have that starting point, and then you start dissecting from there. And all right, how can I set myself up for success and just have these daily habits that will eventually long term lead to this where I eventually want to be? And I don't think a lot of people think that through and how this can...
You can go down a rabbit hole, right? Like you can say like, I want to feel better. And you can go down the line and say, okay, in order for me to feel better, I need to go to sleep earlier. In order for me to go to sleep earlier, I need to just play one game of FIFA, not two games.
Mm-hmm.
In order to, like, you can go down the whole thing, and in your head, you're like, okay, I need to go to sleep earlier, or I need to drink more water, or drink more coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But no, what you really need to do to feel better is just play one game of FIFA every day, not two.
Mm-hmm.
And like, most, to your point, some people won't go down that exercise. And they won't realize that those habits that they've developed of playing two games every day is not going to take them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then they find themselves years down the road, whoa, this isn't the life that I had planned for. I'm like, yeah, life will make something happen for you if you don't make it happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting for me, too. And, like, I kind of have fun figuring out where I can like better myself and how what habits are bad and what I need to get rid of, and then figuring out the way to get rid of them, because that's its own challenge too. It's like, all right, well, I need to make a better habit of like not having a podcast going when I go to bed and doing reading instead. It's like, all right, well, let's start by just saying read at least 5 pages before you go to bed, and then you can just slowly up it from there. Like, I think it's, 75 days or something to build a habit, so just make it every day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, figure out what the hell you're doing with your time. And I also like doing it from a math standpoint, and I think you'll both appreciate this being relatively analytical people, figure out, estimate how much time you're wasting in a day, then multiply that by 365. And like most
we'll get to weeks, man. Like weeks. You're spending weeks.
Yeah. And so, and if you want to think about it from a financial perspective, that's like, all right, you've spent 3 40-hour weeks fucking around. Like, and if you're paid X dollars an hour, that's how much money you just wasted.
Yeah. I know one funny thing is, well, I don't know if it's gross, but like the amount of money you waste taking a shit. Like a year, right? Like that's how much it costs you being in the restroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think some people like don't think about it that way.
Yeah, a lot of people have the excuse that they'll throw around like, I don't have the time, but a lot of times if you dig through their schedules, they actually do have the time, and what they're really saying is it's just not that important, as important enough to them. And so it's like, all right, how can I design that schedule? Like one of my favorite sayings is from 9 to 5 you make your living, and from 9 to 5 you make your living, and from 5 to 9 you make your fortune. It's like, okay, yep. You need to be diligent with those hours afterwards. Is you can either pay now and play later, or you can play now and pay later. Mm-hmm. So the choice is yours.
Yeah, I think so many people, to your point, don't make it a priority.
Yeah,
I know from a volunteer perspective, so many people tell me like, Fernando, when I was a student, I used to be involved in the organization that you're a part of, and now as a working professional, I just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the things that they're doing on social media, I'm like, what the fuck, you do have time. Like, it's just not a priority.
It's like, oh, you binge watch another show on Netflix. Congratulations.
Well, like, you're out drinking, and again, pre-COVID, but like, mm-hmm. you're out drinking, doing your own thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But to me, like, that says so much about a person's character for them to tell me, like, I don't have the time, rather than saying, like, hey, I appreciate the work that you do for our community, but unfortunately, like, that's not a priority to me, and I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I have so much more respect to someone who tells me, like, that's not a priority to me. Like, you keep doing your thing. That's just to lie to me and lie to themselves and say, I don't have the time.
Right. Yeah. Again, tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important for you to recognize certain excuses and then have that inner dialogue with yourself of like, okay, what you just said was an excuse. You need that is not a legitimate excuse.
Right.
You,
yeah.
What is the real reason?
It come has to the terms. Potential to become a reason, right? Like, mm-hmm. in my eyes, looking at them as an excuse, but if they were to tell me, the reason I can't go to these events is because I want to spend more time on my social life. Like that goes from an excuse to a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's how you frame it.
Yep.
That's the part that I have a trouble
with. Well, I think sometimes people genuinely think they don't have the time too.
Yeah.
And they,
because they got good at lying and they started lying to themselves.
Yep. And so I think that like part of the first step of recovery is recognizing the issue and deciding to tackle the problem. And I think just a lot of people in our society haven't taken that plunge.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to make a point, but I've already forgotten it.
Oh, well, it's not good.
Yeah, probably not. It's probably trash. But yeah, it's tough to really understand yourself and be honest with yourself. And oh, I remember now, I had a quote on my whiteboard for a while and I still like it and I think about it a lot. It's all your excuses are lies, and kind of encapsulates a lot of what we just talked about. And I love that, and it's harsh for most people to hear that, but that is the biggest truth.
Yeah, there are a lot of times uncomfortable conversations that you have to have with yourself. They're not fun at all, and you're like, oh man, I'm being inconsistent here, that sucks. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to represent that, but that's what I'm representing right now, so you need to address that. But it's just all part of the growing process, and embrace that. And I think a lot of people are scared of it and don't want to feel the pain, but whenever you embrace it, it's just so much more can change in your life.
I think right now, especially like with January being here, right, I mean, people say like the whole new resolution stuff is like doesn't work, and to a certain extent it doesn't work if you do it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like, instead of people doing resolutions, they can just sit down and have a discussion with themselves and say, what are the habits that I have now that are not serving me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can probably make a lot more headway on developing the things that they want to do this year, rather than just saying, I hope, or hopefully the resolution comes from me doing this or that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes hoping you'll do something is a false promise. Like, you can hope all you damn want, but it's up to you to take action.
Decide.
Yep. Recognize your ability to choose and choose.
Yeah, because what was it? I believe what the root word of decide means to cut off from. So whenever you make a decision in life, you cut off from all other options. So you have to recognize whenever you're making a choice or a decision in life that you're going to be cutting all other options out and you're going to go after this. So if like you just want to be successful in business, it's not going to happen. You have to decide to be successful.
Yep.
And that's the journey that begins. And you have to recognize the gravity of the decision that you're making, understanding that, all right, I am deciding to cut off from all of this.
Yeah, or I like to look at it from the perspective of sacrifice. Like, I understand that to have this, I have to sacrifice this, and I am voluntarily going to sacrifice this thing that this useless part of me so I can replace it with something better.
And you have to, like, buy into it. Like, there's just no way around it. Yep. Warren Buffett has, like, the 525 rule, I think is what he calls it. It's an exercise of writing down 25 things that you want to accomplish and then picking the top five, circling those. And a lot of people think like, okay, well, these are my top five. When I do one, then I go to number six, and then I do another one, I go to number seven. But the idea is, no, it's the 20 things that you did not circle are the things that you need to avoid at all circumstances. Mm-hmm. Until you do the other five complete, then you can move on to the next, you know, whatever 20 you want to work on. But I think so many people will see it as, well, these are just my top five. I can do one and go to the next. They never accomplish anything because they're just going on from one thing to the next and they're not really going to finish everything that they have to accomplish, right? So you just have to make it a priority and forget about everything else because it's really easy to justifying and pivoting and like you end up getting nothing done.
Well, yeah. It's like I remember long time ago looking into going into the military and possibly doing like special forces and then really studying up on the psyche, especially when you're going into like boot camp and hell week, stuff like that. You understand that these people that are coming into those trainings, and these are some of the most intense trainings in the world, that if you're going in there and you're kind of like, all right, I hope I like make it through this training, you're already done before you even got there and you don't even know.
Yeah.
You have to decide that no matter what happens, and you know it's going to be one of the hardest things you ever go through, that you're going to make it through no matter what. And people need to make those types of decisions in their life.
It's life and death.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally like, I'm going to finish this or you're going to have to drag my corpse away.
Yep. And those are the type of decisions that you have to make in your life. And people kind of do that. No, you have to understand the gravity behind this and how important it is.
Well, because if you don't develop that, when it comes down to using that muscle and like in the field, you're going to be on a special mission, and it's either life or death. Like there is no like, hey, terrorists, let me call a timeout really quick, and then we figure out my life, and then we'll go back to fighting each other.
Right.
it's no, you either go through it or die.
Well, I think you can have good conviction behind it. Like part of what like really drives me is like I really genuinely believe every single person on this planet was put here to do something amazing, to accomplish big things. I don't think people are placed here to do small things. It's just whether you're going to go through the steps necessary to recognize that full potential. And then I view it as your moral obligation to actually become the best version that you possibly can for all of society, and you'd be able to pass on a multi-generational legacy. It's important for us to all strive for that, and I don't think a lot of people think that through.
100% agree. And I think when I have these discussions sometimes with people, and I've had it multiple times, I say things like that and people will think that I'm alluding to everyone needs to become like an Elon Musk. Right, everyone needs to become the next Bill Gates. Like what I'm trying to say, similar to what you're, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but correct me if I'm wrong. Like you being the best person in your life could be that you are the glue in your family's network.
Yep.
If you can just be the best person that you can be and be that bring the joy, bring the love, and keep everyone together. Like that was you serving your role as a mom or a dad or a cousin, whatever the case is. But you served your purpose in the life. But if you're going to do that half-assed, guess what? Your family's going to break up. Mm-hmm. You had so much potential to have your family be together, but unfortunately, you weren't that person that you needed to become.
Yep. Is that what you're alluding to? Yes, yes. The ripple effect of the impact of your actions and the actions that and how that will happen onto other people, it's incredibly important. And well, yeah, you're 100% right.
I guess Jordan Peterson talks about that too, like making your bet. I think so many times people say like, well, that's not going to solve the world, but no, like maybe that small, like if everybody makes their bet in the world, if they have a bet, and just clean up after themselves, like that's going to have a ripple effect. and make everyone around you so much better.
Right. Because
you're taking ownership of your space, and you're taking ownership of the things that you own.
Yeah, and I like his way of phrasing it in terms of, you're either helping humanity step closer to doing better, or you're taking them the other direction.
Mm-hmm. There is no neutral.
There is no neutral, and it's dependent on your own individual responsibilities and actions, and you acting upon them accordingly.
Yeah. Whatever reason, like, my head went to a visual of a seesaw, and having a car neutral in the middle, like, there is no perfect equilibrium, because the car is going to be one way or another.
Right.
Depending on how you pick it up, it's going to rock one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, like, we're up on time. It was a really good episode. Thanks for being one of our guests. Yeah. Any closing thoughts? Anything that you want to maybe impart on our listeners?
Goodness. I'm, like, stammering. I'm trying to think. I would really say that be resilient. When the going gets tough, just keep your head down, and that, again, that's when it's most important to be positive, is whenever the going gets tough, and most important to dive in and read the right things and listen to the right people. I'd really just pass that on. Whenever it's easy to be positive when things are going well. It's easy to do that, and so that's why it's important when things aren't going well. And I know a lot of people are in that situation right now, so it's just a voice of encouragement to trust that eventually the tables will turn and things will start working out.
Yeah, I'm gonna quote a bodybuilder that I've had this quote stuck in my head forever. But you can have whatever you want, but no one's gonna give you a damn thing.
If it is to be, it's up to me.
Yep, that's a good one.
I don't have any parting quotes. thank you guys for listening to the Dealing with Laughs Up podcast. We'll check you guys out later. Again, if you guys want to engage with us, follow us on social media. Please share the episodes. You're really helping us out and growing our podcast. And we'll talk to you guys
next time. Hold on. Wait, where can the kids find you, Travis?
Oh, this is like my Instagram handle or something.
If you want to plug yourself.
Yeah, it's up to you. If you're willing to share it, we'll share on the notes.
There we go.
Yeah, that works. I don't have like my typical handles.
we'll put your cell phone number.
Yeah, and your social. Yeah. All right. See you guys. Happy 2021.
Thanks, y'all.